Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight. We'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. So love to hear from you tonight. And also, reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And we also endeavor to stream live on YouTube. Sometimes it works better than other times. Hopefully it's working right now. It seemed to go pretty good as I was setting up here, getting ready at the start of the program. So hopefully it's working. And actually, you can find us on YouTube. Just look for Live with Pastor Al. Or if you go to our Facebook page at Live with Pastor Al, facebook.com/Live with Pastor Al, you can find our YouTube stream there. I believe it should be up and running. So things seem to be going smoothly. I'm not a sports fan or sports watcher, but if YouTube's going good, I understand both the Browns and the Bengals won their football games today, and to have those two both win, two Ohio teams win on the same day, and YouTube cooperating, that's, I'm not sure, but we'll take it, I guess. So anyway, welcome to the program tonight, and I'm of course Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and where you can find out more about us as well. Just simply go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can link to our homepage for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to come out and visit. We'll have more information about that later on. So again, we're going to get into some of our phone calls tonight. Do want to share a couple of announcements before we do that, though, and I want to mention first up that be aware of the election dates. There are certain dates regarding the fall election that you need to be aware of. If you are not at all sure that you're registered to vote, maybe it's been a while since you last voted. Maybe you don't remember when you last voted. Maybe you're just not sure. Well, you can be sure, and it's very simple to be sure. You can go to the Secretary of State's webpage, and if you go there, there's places, things that you can click on, and it'll help you know whether you're voted registered or not. And I had I always like it when I have the homepage right there. It is. I had it all lined up, and then I couldn't see it. Got my nose in front of my eyes, I guess. Couldn't see it. But here it is. It's OhioSOS.gov. SOS for Secretary of State. Or you can think of it as SOS for help. OhioSOS.gov. And if you'll go there, the opening page, I'm looking at it right now, has a big graphic right here on the opening page that says the voter registration deadline for the November 3rd, 2020 general election is October 5th. That's tomorrow. So if you are not sure, go to OhioSOS.gov. That's the Secretary of State's webpage. And follow the links there, and that'll get you to where you can register. Or You can save maybe some time if you know where your Board of Elections are located at. Simply call the Board of Elections or go to their website. Each county has a different Board of Elections. If you're in Summit County like I am, you contact the Summit County Board of Elections. If you're in Cuyahoga County, like where the studio here is, you contact the Cuyahoga County Board of Elections, and likewise, whichever county you're in. And that way they can check and they can make sure. And if you're not registered for the November 3rd general election, you can get registered so that you can be sure that your voice will be heard. Now, that's number one thing you need to remember. Tomorrow, October 5th, that's just less than an hour away, is the last day that you can register for the November 3rd election. Then, starting on Tuesday, October 6th, open voting begins in the state of Ohio. That's why why registration ends, because on Tuesday, the 6th of October, early voting begins. Now, Ohio is very generous with early voting. That gives you about 4 weeks of early voting. And then, of course, the general election is on Tuesday, November the 3rd. And I still maintain, if you want to be most certain that your vote counts, go and vote in person. Now, you can vote absentee. It's fairly simple, fairly easy in Ohio. Contact your Board of Elections or go to the Secretary of State's website, ohiosos.gov, and you can follow the things on there to request an absentee ballot. And when you get that, be sure that you send it in. I'd suggest sending it in by the end of October, if at all possible, because ideally you want it to be back at your Board of Elections on the close of Election Day, November 3rd. Or you can show up to vote in person for early voting, or the best choice, I think, is to show up in person on Election Day, November the 3rd, and vote in person. And when you fill your ballot out, make sure as it feeds into the scanner that you stand there and watch it go in. And when it goes in and it gives you a little bing or a buzzer or something that says that it's accepted, you know your vote is in there and it has been electronically recorded and it's ready. And when they close up the poll at the end of the day, all that material will be taken to the Board of Elections office where your ballot or your vote will be registered. And so you can do that. And don't run off after you hand it to them. Don't hand it to them. Scan it yourself. Wait, make sure it gets recorded. And then you'll know that you voted. You don't have to worry about whether or not your vote got there. You don't have to worry about whether or not the postman lost it. You don't have to worry about whether or not it got defaced along the way. You'll know because you watched it go in. And plus, you get to get one of the nifty I voted today stickers that we get to give out. So let me encourage you with those things. Remember, tomorrow, October 5th, close of registration, October 6th, Tuesday, start of early voting, and then the election day and the final day of voting would be Tuesday, November the 3rd. And you say, well, I don't know who to vote for. I don't understand who the candidates are or the ballot issues or whatever. Let me point you to two different things that will be a help here in Ohio. Go to the Ohio Christian Alliance page, ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. If you go there, you will find front and center on the page a nonpartisan voter guide, the Ohio Christian Alliance voter guide. It starts with the presidential candidates, and you click on that image there, and it'll take you to the complete voter guide. Got it right here in front of me. I just clicked on it. First page is the presidential candidates. It gives you a series of issues and whether or not the candidate supports or opposes that issue, or if it's unknown, it puts unknown. And again, just to give you a quick look here, the first issue that they have is government funding of Planned Parenthood. Donald Trump opposes that issue or that position, and Joe Biden supports it. Here is another one, taxpayer funding of abortion. Donald Trump opposes it. Joe Biden supports it. a little further down, the decision to move the U.S. embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. Donald Trump supports that. Joe Biden opposes it. And then, you know, it just goes through several like that. The next thing on the voter guide here for the Ohio Christian Alliance is a series of congressional races, the 2020 Ohio congressional candidates. And there's a series of issues there, and you just simply follow down until you find your congressional district. If you have any question at all, of course, you can, again, go to the Ohio Secretary of State's website, and you can find out much of that information. After that is the 2020 Ohio Senate candidates. And then following that, you have the 2020 Ohio House of Representatives candidates. And then I believe that brings us down. No statewide ballot issues or anything like that. It's got some information there to encourage you. It's a nonpartisan voter guide. This can be printed out. You can hand it out at church legally for churches that are afraid of losing their tax-exempt status. You don't have to worry about this. For real churches that aren't worried about tax-exempt status, well, you can hand this out without any problem either. And it gives you information on the candidates. Now, there's a lot of other things that you may not find on there. And this is a site that I want to recommend called ivoterguide.com. voterguide.com. And the great thing about this is it says when you go to this site at ivoterguide.com, it says want to see your personalized ballot, and it's got some information there, and you can put your address in there, or you can enter your zip code in there, and you click My Ballot, which I just did, and it brings up a ballot, and this is what it gives you. It gives you, for my zip code, it gives a U.S. president race. It has, the Democrat, the Libertarian, and the Republican candidates. Next one is the U.S. House district for here in Ohio, District 11, which, of course, has two, Marsha Fudge, the incumbent Democrat, and point these two out, partly because they're in my, Marsha Fudge is my current representative, and there's a little, it's like a little meter, and you see where the needle is on the meter, and in Marsha Fudge's particular meter, she is listed as, the meter's all the way to the left as very liberal. And then after that is Laverne Jones Gore, and Laverne Gore is challenging Marsha Fudge. She's a Republican challenger, and you can see that she is listed as somewhat conservative. And, well, she's not held office, so they don't have anything that they can really go on other than her statements. I think she's a little more than somewhat conservative, but you can find that information out. And it's kind of, it goes from very liberal to very conservative on that scale or on that little meter. And then, of course, there's judges. That's the one that people always struggle with, is how do I know where these judges stand? And in this case, here's the Supreme Court Justice for Ohio Supreme Court. And there's Sharon Kennedy, the Republican, listed as a proven originalist. And John O'Donnell, the Democrat challenger, who's listed as a judicial activist. So with the judges, it goes from judicial activist to originalist, the originalist being the conservative position, the activist being the liberal position, or the left-leaning position, and the right-leaning position, if you want to look at them that way. Then we have a state representative, and we see the challengers there, and the State Board of Election, the State Board of Education, and you see the different ones there that you can vote for. And after the State Board of Education, different ones there, there's some local races, and for some reason, everybody look at it, comes up and says Clark County Sheriff. We have a sheriff candidate in Summit County, It's not Clark County. This must be a little glitch on the thing. So that's the only glitch that I've seen so far on the iVoterGuide.com is everybody comes up with the Clark County Sheriff. I shared this with somebody at church today who lives in Cuyahoga County, and he also got Clark County Sheriff. And it seems like that comes up by default. So hopefully they'll get that one straightened out. But everything else on there, let me recommend iVoterGuide.com. All right, wanted to get that information out. And then, before we get to our calls, it's just this is one of those weeks, months, years 2020 is proving to be news, big news every time you turn around. And so try not to miss everything because we've got several things that I do want to mention here. The next thing I wanted to mention is also freeohio.com. If you go to that, you can find out some information. But here's the local one. This is in Summit County. I know the people who are involved in this and people who are able to get out for some of these events. Free Ohio Now Summit. That's the group there. And they have a site at USA.life. Now, USA.life is like Facebook without the animosity towards conservative and Christian web pages. So if you'll go to USA.life /FreeOhioNowSummit, that's USA.life Free Ohio Now Summit, and you can find out more information. But there's a Trump flag wave event coming up this Saturday, October 3rd, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You don't have to stay for the whole time if you don't want to or can't get there right away. You can come for part of it, stay for all of it, whatever you would like. But they are going to be meeting, let's see, I've got the wrong address on here. This one here that I'm showing, let me scan down to the correct one. Here we go. This is yesterday's I'm reading. I said October 3rd. This is October 10th. October 10th, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and it will be on the corner in front of the Starbucks in the Portage Crossings shopping area. That's the Portage Crossings shopping area at 2071 Portage Trail, 2071 Portage Trail, space 1000 in Cuyahoga Falls. And if you have any questions whatsoever, of course, go to the Free Ohio Now Summit page at usa.life/FreeOhioNowSummit. And also, if you just go to freeohionow.com, a lot of these events, not only Summit County events, but other counties have events, and you can find them if you go to freeohionow.com. Let's see, that's a number of things. I think we're working through our list. And then, of course, I do have to commend Governor DeWine. When he does something good, I think we ought to commend him for it. He called for today to be a statewide day of prayer for President Trump and First Lady Melania. And, of course, like new news every day, breaking news, big news stories, it seems like. And it just seems like we just had the first presidential election here in Cleveland, Ohio. And then a couple days later, the announcement a few days later, I guess, on Friday, that President Trump and First Lady Melania, his wife, tested positive for the coronavirus. They were showing symptoms of COVID-19, and that's what you get from the coronavirus. And so President Trump allowed them to take him over to Walter Reed Medical Center. And, of course, it's a military facility. And they have everything that he needs to run the country. They have a presidential suite. It's just like having an Oval Office in the hospital. And so he was perfectly able to keep in touch and take care of business while the doctors treated him. And thousands of people began meeting outside on the street and waving flags and in support of President Trump and First Lady Melania. And Today, I understand, I did not see it, I was hearing about it on the news, but President Trump took a drive they took him out in the presidential limo and drove him out for a short time around where the crowds were, and so it was encouraging to see him come out. They're reporting that he is making progress, but do continue to pray for him. Latest indications are that for most people, if you get the coronavirus and test positive for it, that the mortality rate, the likelihood of dying, is less than 1%. That's less than 1%. Very few people now are currently dying. There are some who die. It is a tragedy. I know of some people, I say people as in plural, who either died with or from the coronavirus. In most cases, again, it's somebody that has died with the coronavirus. The distinction is only about 6% of the people in the United States who have died from the coronavirus died from that alone. The other 94% have died with the coronavirus and probably one or more likely two or more other comorbidities. They had asthma, they had a COPD, they had some other issues that were causing them problems, and they were probably on their way to dying, you know, basically from these other issues. And when they contracted the coronavirus, that was kind of like the last straw tipped them over. So that's what that's why they report with the coronavirus. And you have to understand, with the coronavirus doesn't mean it was the main thing that killed him. It might have been, but it just means they also had other things. Guy actually was killed in a motorcycle accident. He tested positive for the coronavirus, so they said that he died with the coronavirus and implying that the coronavirus killed him. No, the coronavirus didn't kill him. The motorcycle accident did. But do pray for people that are suffering from it. A vast majority of people get it. It has not been that serious, especially of late. Earlier on in the spring, back in March, back in April, May timeframe, when we had some more virulent strains, and we didn't know what was happening and how to best treat it, but the treatments are better, and some of the strains are a little more mild, and so we're not seeing people die. We're not seeing people having as bad of a time. So do pray for those that have it. All right, had a lot that I wanted to go through and cover. Just so much going on. Pray for our country. Pray for God's protection and watch care over our president and first lady. And we're going to get to our callers here finally. And we've got Nancy, who's been patiently waiting. Nancy, welcome to the program today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, Nancy.
Your opening was very interesting and very informative. I'm going to certainly go to that iVoter.com website. And you did mention that Friday night, which I have to say that was
right.
An exceptional Bible study again. Thank you for having it.
Well, thank you. And glad you were there.
Thanks for the zucchini.
I was able to grow some pretty good zucchinis this year. Some friends of mine that tried, they didn't seem to get any, but they came together for us this year. So,
thank you very much. I was very concerned about all these very, very strong prescription medicines that they're giving President Trump. And, you know, all prescription drugs can have some serious side effects. And I was just wondering if maybe they were using too many different things. And why aren't they using hydroxychloroquine? Because that has had such great success, from different countries. I know they tried to downplay it in this country because Trump has supported it. But I was just very concerned. This isn't even my question yet. I was just very concerned. Did you have any questions about those very strong medications that they're using?
Well,
President Trump, you think they're overdoing it?
I don't think they're overdoing it because he's obviously showed some improvement. I was kind of surprised to hear that he wasn't currently on hydroxychloroquine and they've not been administering that because a lot of people have very good results. But this one particular antibody treatment that he's been using. It could be that the hydroxychloroquine might have interfered with that. And so that may be why he wasn't using that. But the antibody treatment, you know, it's the antibodies, of course, that fight the virus in our bodies, and they help attack it and kill the virus. And so there's some exciting things. And antibodies, basically, that's something God put in us to take care of things that could be harmful to us. So it's kind of exciting to see some of the treatments that they've come up with, antibody treatments. I know the Israelis were working on one for different types of cancer, where they would culture your antibodies, produce a massive amount of your own antibodies, and then put them in where the cancer is, and they would actually destroy the cancer. They were getting some tremendous results there in a couple of things that I had read about. So I don't know if there's some variant on that. I'm not as well-versed in some of that as my wife is. Of course, my wife's an RN, so she's a little more well-versed in it. But I have no doubt that he's been well-monitored. I mean, after all, he is the president, and I'm sure he's been pretty well monitored for things with side effects. Everything we take, even if you take an aspirin, there's going to be side effects to everything that we take. If you eat too much ginger in your stir fry, you can have a side effect of thinning blood. So, because ginger tends to have a blood thinning effect. So,
I have heard that. Now, I know you probably have a lot of callers, so I'm going to try to make this quick. I'm sort of fascinated with the rapture and the tribulation, and I did call last week about that. I heard this one preacher, and I didn't have a chance to look up Bible verses, but I don't know if it's true or not, say that all the Jewish people were saved by the end of the tribulation. Now, if that's true, I've heard that a lot of people that are saved during the tribulation, they're beheaded. I hope that a lot of Jews weren't beheaded.
Yeah, and Nancy, can you hold? We're going to take a break here in just about a few seconds. So if you'll hold that thought, we'll pick up that question on the second half. So stay tuned. We got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We're brought to you tonight, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find some of our social media links there. And we're still trying to work and get some more improvements into making it easier to find some of our social social media postings, and also link to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield there. And also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And the call, I believe, currently right now, they're just doing pickups, but you can call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Mention that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can order a pizza, great pizza, and I think it's some of the best pizza I've ever had. And they are located, like I said, at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, so very easy to find. And the phone number is 216-341-9100. All right, we're getting right back to our caller here, and we had Nancy who called with a question, and she was calling asking about the Jewish people, I believe, during the tribulation, and also people who are killed during the tribulation, I believe. Was that correct, Nancy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I hope that a whole lot of Jews weren't beheaded, because I did hear that a lot of people were beheaded if they did accept Jesus Christ and not accept the mark of the beast. So it'd just be terrible to hear that a whole bunch of Jewish people were beheaded. And then anybody that accepted Jesus Christ, I know, you know, they'll be right, you know, to go to heaven. But is there any information in the Bible, like what percentage of people were beheaded for not accepting the, you know, mark of the beast?
Well, let's touch on a couple things real quick, because obviously Romans, touching on the thing with the Jewish people, Romans says in Romans 11, verse 25 through 27, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." And so he's talking about the Jewish people. He's not talking about Christians as being spiritual Jews or anything like that, because he says in verse 28, "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes." And so they're going to come a point, and this is during the tribulation, and in the Old Testament book of Zechariah, we have an interesting passage. Zechariah chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14 gives some tremendous information in regards to what's going to happen when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period. This is some tremendous prophetic statements here. And Zechariah is I think, an underappreciated prophetic book, in terms especially of what it says about the end of the tribulation. And it says this in chapter 12. He's talking about the Lord returning and coming back at the end of the tribulation to Jerusalem. And it says this in verse number 9, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And this is when we see at the end of Revelation 19, where Jesus, the sword goes out from his mouth that destroys the armies of the Antichrist. He says, and I will pour, verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Notice what it says here, the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, etc. And it continues on. And then it says this in chapter 13, verse 1, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. This sure sounds like they get saved, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they mourn because they realize that Jesus, the one whom their forefathers have pierced and rejected, remember when Jesus was rejected and they led him away to be crucified, and they said, his blood be upon us and our children, they'll recognize that Jesus was the Messiah and their forefathers had rejected him. So this is the Jewish people that are left by the end of the tribulation, and time's sake, I haven't been able to find it just yet. If I do while we're talking, I'll turn to it. But the indication I'm trying to think how the verse goes. I think it's they go through the refining fire, and only about a third of them survive. Now, I don't know how many people will be left. We know that during the tribulation, there's going to be some great devastation where large numbers of people die on the earth, the Jew and Gentile alike. And also, we have the persecution that starts at the midpoint of the tribulation, and many of the Jews would be killed at that time as well. But idea that about only a third of the Jewish people who are alive at that time, survive, and they're the ones who embrace Christ, and that's a lot of loss of life, isn't it?
Wow, yes. Oh, my goodness.
And, here it is. I think I just found it. Zechariah chapter 13. And let me turn over to Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9. Actually, let me go back up a little bit here to verse number 8. It says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So the third that's left, two-thirds die, as silver is refined, he says, a third of it will come through the fire, two-thirds will be lost, and that third that comes through the fire will embrace Christ as their Lord and as their God. And those are the ones that will survive. Now, you had also asked, I think, about others who are beheaded.
Yes. Is there any indication? I know it's sort of a morbid thought, but how many people will be beheaded during the tribulation? Everybody that refuses the mark, are they going to be beheaded, or is there any indication?
I believe that there's a number of people who are going to die at various points who embrace Christ as their Savior during the tribulation period of time. I know one of the seals that's opened up in Revelation chapter number 6, it says here, let me drop down here to verse number 9, where he says, "And he had opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So this is in the first half of the tribulation period, and this is even before the mark of the beast is instituted.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, after that, later on, there's other places in the persecution that starts, and those that reject the Antichrist, those that refuse to take his mark. Of course, it says in Revelation 13, when the false prophet sets up the image of the beast, and then it says that in verse 15, he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so a number are going to be killed there. And then, of course, there's the mark of the beast that's instituted there. So we have a number of people that are going to be killed there. I don't know that we have anything that's going to give exactly the number of people that are killed by the actions of the Antichrist and the false prophet necessarily. But a large number. We know that two-thirds of the Jewish people, though, will not make it.
Yes, you made that very clear.
Yeah, and I'm just going to assume that it probably be a similar thing with perhaps with the Gentiles, perhaps a similar number.
Okay.
That's just my assumption. I can't right at this point. And there may be a verse that I'm just not thinking of right now that perhaps gives a little better indication. But between the natural disasters and the war and the pestilence and then the persecution of those that do not accept the Antichrist as God, a lot of people will die during the tribulation. In fact, Jesus said when he talked about it in the Gospels that it would be the time of great tribulation, and except that time were shortened, he said no flesh would survive. Meaning it was so severe that if it went on for more than the 3.5 years of the second half of the tribulation, which is called the Great Tribulation, humanity would not survive that 3.5 year, longer than 3.5 years.
Oh my goodness.
So,
well, thank you very much. I want to save some time for your other callers.
I believe
thank
we have
you.
Terry coming up, so we'll get to him in just a moment as well. So, but yeah.
Okay, well,
but that's a good question tonight, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, you know, the tribulation is so fascinating. I mean, it's scary, but it just gives me motivation. We don't know when the rapture is going to occur. You know, to as many people as possible. There's nothing more important than where you spend eternity. So we'll pray.
Exactly.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that. And again, that is a warning, really, when we read these things, and we need to be prepared before these events take place. Here's the one verse that actually talks about those who are beheaded. It's Revelation 20, verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded." Here he says, "for the witness of Jesus." So these are believers, beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So it doesn't give us a number there, but there's a number, there's a group here that are recognized in heaven, and they go into the millennial kingdom. Along with the other believers, they go in there and they represent a group in the millennial kingdom that will rule and reign with Christ during that period of time of these people who were believers came to Christ during the tribulation, and this may reflect both Jew and Gentile believers beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads in their hands. So that's Revelation 20, verse 4. All right, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Terry waiting. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good. It sounds like you guys got a lot going on in the United States.
It's just like every time you turn around, another major story. You know, summer is usually considered a slow news time. But when we get into, late September, October, the fall, especially when there's a major election, such as a presidential election every 4 years, we do, typically see more big stories in the news. But this seems like we're getting one every few days, if not every day, rather than one a week. Usually it's like one a week or something, but now we're getting several a week.
I studied a lot of your presidents. I've always had an interest in knowing what's going on in the States.
I was trying to remember, actually, since you have me on the phone, you would be perhaps better aware of this than me. Didn't Prime Minister Trudeau have a bout with the coronavirus earlier on?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, I think both him and his wife did, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I know the Prime Minister of England did.
Just his wife had a problem,
His wife. As I had thought, there's a number of world leaders actually that have had coronavirus. I think maybe one, the only one that I can think of or that I've heard of, sort of a world leader that has died with or from, however you want to phrase it, generally speaking, with coronavirus, was actually a member of the Ayatollah's government in Iran. So that's the only one. Other world leaders, Belarus, Great Britain, I think Brazil, number of other places, they've had it. In some cases, it wasn't much of anything. Some cases, like Boris Johnson, right? I believe it is in Great Britain. He was hospitalized for a while, in intensive care actually for a while, but he pulled through and he seems to be doing pretty good himself. But for some people it is very serious, but for a great number of people, it's more of an annoyance than anything else.
I studied a lot of your presidents, and the one president that I was studying just tonight, actually, a little bit, his name was Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yes, President Hayes.
He was interesting. He was born on the same day as me, October 4th.
A different year, though, I trust.
The 19th president of the United States.
Yeah.
And you know what the October 4th is, eh?
Yes, 4th of July.
That's today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking 4th of July. Sorry, did a brain freeze there. October 4th today. Well, happy birthday, Terry. And if Rutherford B. Hayes was listening, we could say happy birthday to him, but I don't think he's listening. Happy birthday to you. God bless.
Yeah, I was just curious about what president was born on my birthday, and I just happened to look it up, and there it was. I was going to mention something. I guess I haven't got really much time, but I wanted to bring something up last week that you were talking about, Nancy, about the spirit and where the spirit dwells.
All right.
And you were talking about. Sorry, my mind went kind of blank on me. You were talking about the one that died. He died, and then Saul. You were talking about Saul. Sorry about that. And Saul, if he would have had the spirit dwelling within him, he would have been resurrected. If he had the spirit dwelling in him, but he wasn't. He didn't have the spirit of.
Let's make sure we got the right Saul. We're talking about King Saul.
King Saul.
King Saul's an interesting guy. I think we'll find King Saul in heaven, personally.
But I'm just saying if he had the spirit dwelling, he had the spirit on him. He didn't have the spirit dwelling in him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like a lot of people, like if you have the spirit of God dwelling in you, then you have everlasting life. But if you don't have the spirit of God dwelling in you, then you don't have life. And then,
in the New Testament era, of course, we have a statement by Paul along with what you're saying there in Romans chapter 8 here. Let me see here. I believe it's in Romans chapter 8 where he makes the statement here, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, where he says, now if any man have not, I'm sorry, let me back up and read the beginning of the verse, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so in this particular dispensation, this would be the time since really the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came upon the believers there on the day of Pentecost. When somebody gets saved today, they receive the Spirit of God in them, the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, all synonymous terms. And so we are indwelt by the Spirit of God at the moment of salvation. Now, in the Old Testament, and this would be the case with King Saul, somebody believed in the Messiah who was going to come. You know, we believe in the Messiah who came. But the difference back then is when they put their faith in the Messiah to come, they may have been regenerated, born again, whatever terminology we might want to use for them, but they did not necessarily receive the Spirit of God in them at that time.
I asked this question at a Bible study I went to last fall, and I asked this at a group meeting, and people didn't even want to talk about it because they didn't understand what I was trying to tell them.
You know, that brings up a good point, because oftentimes when somebody doesn't know something about something, the easiest way to get around it is just not want to talk about it.
Yeah, but I find it's a very important subject.
I agree with you. I agree with you, because we know that the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he prophesied at one point at least.
Right, and then the Spirit was taken away from him.
Yeah, and the Spirit left him, and the same thing happened with other believers during the Old Testament. But when the Spirit left them, they did not lose, you know, their salvation. They did not lose their relationship with God in that sense. They still, I still believe if we look at it, you and I today, we look back at the Messiah who came. We believe that he came and he paid for our sins. And Saul in his day, and David and all them back then, they would have looked forward to the Messiah who would come and pay for their sins. And so when they sacrificed the lambs and things, they did it in anticipation of the Lamb of God that would be slain to take away their sin. And now, of course, we don't have to sacrifice, because we look back to the Lamb of God, which took away our sin. So we have the Spirit in us. We're sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. But Saul could have had the Spirit come on him and leave him, but his state of salvation would not have left when the Spirit left. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, so even if he died without the Spirit indwelling in him at that moment in time, he still would have belonged to the Lord, and that's why when he consorted with the witch at Endor, and God allowed Samuel to visit him, even though Samuel had died, and Samuel said, you know, you and your sons are going to be with me today. Later today, you know, you're going to be with me, or however it went. And then, of course, Saul was killed, and his sons were killed in battle, and they went into paradise where Samuel was already. Yeah, so, and it does get kind of confusing and difficult to understand sometimes when we look at this, because, you know, when we're looking at the Old Testament, which had some unique characteristics versus the New Testament, and So I'm very thankful that we have the promise of the Spirit of God today that indwells us at salvation and will never leave us nor forsake us. That's a comforting thing, isn't it?
And we can go into the Holy of Holies at any time now.
Well, yeah, because we have boldness through Christ. It's the Spirit of God that speaketh and you know, intercedes with us, the Bible says, with groanings that can't be uttered.
Right. So. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. Happy birthday once again. And we're going to wrap it up right there. I think we got less than about 10 seconds to go. I want to thank everybody for listening. And join us next time. Have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.